Hey everyone, you're tuning in to The Reckless Pursuit. This week we're wrapping up our three-week series on green flags in the church, and we're going to be talking about this question today.
What are green flags for a leader, mentor, or spiritual parent?
Hey everyone, this is The Reckless Pursuit. My name is Cody.
And my name is Elaine.
And we're talking about green flags for spiritual authority. Okay, sorry. I just want to go ahead and start this episode by saying, if you have not caught part one and two, part one being the difference in church the noun and church the verb, and part two, green flags in a church-like building, like what to look for if you're trying to attend a new church, I would highly recommend going back and catching those. Those lay the foundation for what we're talking about today. The second thing I would like to point out is if you were on YouTube and you catch this really weird thumbnail, this would be because Elaine completely botched what she was saying and gave the weirdest look, and I just officially dubbed right here live on the show. You'll be using that for the thumbnail.
Great.
For the YouTube
video. Please click the video if you haven't already.
Yeah, because it's beautiful. It's the most wonderful face. And then she punched me when we stopped the camera because you were laughing so hard, which is inappropriate. I gotta wipe my nose. It's got allergy season. And we don't edit these. Oh, well. So, oh, this conversation scares me.
So, you were, in essence, a spiritual authority at one point.
No, I wasn't. I was no one's authority.
You may renounce it now, but renounce it.
And disrespect my surroundings. Yes.
Because you were a youth pastor and a worship pastor.
Yeah. So I held a level of authority in a church. Let's just talk about this first, because the question had mentioned three things, correct? A pastor, a teacher. Is that correct?
A mentor, a leader, and a spiritual parent.
I was just off. Okay. I want to talk about spiritual authority first, because this is some groundwork that needs to get laid. What is authority? And so let's discuss that first. Not spiritual authority. What is authority? If you go out and you steal from someone's business and you get caught by the police, they have the authority to arrest you. Okay? They have the authority to fine you. They have the authority to lock your butt in jail, okay? If you walk into my house and take something, I have the authority. If you break into my house, legally, I have the authority to inflict bodily harm on someone. I wouldn't ever want to do that, but you have that authority if they break into your house.
You have the authority to protect you and your loved ones.
Right. I understand laws vary. I'm talking about my home state in Arkansas. Like, I have the authority, if someone is harassing my family on my front lawn, to tell them, get off my lawn. And if they don't, I have the authority to call a higher authority to get their butt off my lawn.
To remove them, yeah.
If you are in a business and they do not want to serve you, once again, laws vary from place to place. In Arkansas, if you're in a business and they don't want to serve you, they have the authority to tell you, leave. We're not serving you. Now, there's right and wrong and all of that, which we're about to kind of get into a little bit, but you have authority over your possessions. You have authority over
your body.
To some extent. That's a whole other conversation we won't get into right now with some of the things going on. But and you have authority if a pastor has authority to tell someone to leave their church or to tell them that they don't agree with them or whatever. They have that physical authority because they are, or the board, or whoever, is the reigning active member of that establishment. That's not spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is to say that you have authority over someone's spiritual well-being. Okay? A, that's a huge responsibility to take on yourself. Can you imagine saying, like, I'm now responsible for someone's spirit? Okay? Now, yes, you can lead people astray, like the Bible talks about that, you know, especially with children, like tie a millstone around your ankle and yeet yourself into the ocean. Like there is some level to that. But spiritual authority is a thing that is used in church a lot of times to dictate how people treat other people and at what level they can control them. And there's an issue with that. I don't necessarily believe in spiritual authority in that sense. Now, Jesus has some things to say on spiritual authority. I have given you all authority to cast out demons, to trample on the serpent and the scorpion. I have given you all authority to cast out demons by name, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, you know, to heal the blind. Like, Jesus has given authority, spiritual authority, to everyone.
To cast out evil.
To rebuke evil and shine good. We have the spiritual authority to be a light. Now, there's some muddiness with that, because a lot of times spiritual authority, in their mind, they're doing that very thing, right? You have to filter it through that lens of love, loving God, loving others. And I understand there's things as tough love where you can get into all that. We're not going to, but I mean, I get that there's always exceptions to the rule, blah, 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 blah. Spiritual authority, though, when you walk into a church, things a pastor can tell you. I don't like you, you ugly mug. Get out of my church. They have that authority. They can call you, not saying I haven't been called this before, they can call you a wolf amongst sheep. Leave. They can call you a goat. You know, I mean, you may be the greatest of all time. I don't know. But I don't think that's what they mean. They can tell you that you have to submit to their authority. That's where the line draws. Because you don't. Once you walk out of those doors, you don't have to submit to anything they say once you're off of their grounds. You can say whatever you want. Like, they don't have some spiritual authority over you in that way. And some may argue if you're a member of their church, they do. I don't necessarily agree with that either. They don't have any right to tell you what to believe. They don't have the authority to tell you that you cannot believe that way or think that way. You know, they don't have the authority to tell you
that you can't ask questions,
right? Or to be accepting or unaccepting, even, you know, if you want to go that way, of certain beliefs or what have you. And it kind of reminds me of an instance where a friend of mine was actually told, like, while you're going to sit here, you're going to listen to me and hear what I have to say. And, you know, my friend's response was like, you know, I don't have to do anything. Got up and left. Like, there's a lot of gaslighting that goes on with the term spiritual authority.
Manipulation.
Yeah. Now, like I said, there is a level of authority. Christ does talk about submitting to your law, submitting to the rules of your city, as long as they are in accordance with love, right? But even that, you know, there's some things there where some things are just not in accordance with love. And some people's definitions of love are different. That's a conversation that needs to be had. But it's just that.
It's a bunch of conversations.
Yeah, but it's just that. And there is not a rule saying that, like, you submit your soul to, like, a man. Like, I don't think spiritual authority is a safe thing. I think that as a pastor, it is your job to protect, sure. Like, I get that there is, like, a shepherding, guide, right?
Counsel.
But also in a way that gives that person the freedom to understand. There are times where a pastor may have to ask someone to leave, whether for good reason or bad. It could be because they don't agree with their sexuality. Not a great reason to ask someone to leave. It could be a reason like...
Or if the person is disruptive.
Disruptive. I gotcha. Destructively disruptive. Destructive. Yes. That is the word of the
if
day.
If they are disrupting in a negative manner, if they're like, if somebody is saying this is scripture, and then you have somebody in the congregation who just gets up and start yelling and cussing, they have that right to tell them to leave.
Sure. But it's not in their power to tell them you can't.
Don't ever say that again outside of these four walls.
Right. Like, it's same thing as if someone's in your house and they they're back talking to your wife or something. You have every right to tell them to leave, but that doesn't mean that you can stop them once they're out.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, good uses of authority in that sense from a pastoral standpoint. Gossip would be a great thing for a pastor to nip. You know, gossip's a really rough thing in church. The whole I'll pray for you idea kind of lends to, like, the ability to gossip without...
Bless her heart.
Yeah, without, like, understanding intent a little bit more, right? Gossip is a big thing in general, but, like, in churches, it has a tendency. That's a good thing for pastors to nip. You can't stop someone from disliking someone, but creating an unwelcoming or an unloving atmosphere would be a good thing for pastors to nip.
And so that would fall. There's a level of respect.
Right. And so there is a respect that comes from being an authority in the same sense of when you're in someone's house, there's this respect. But a green flag in a pastor to me, or I guess a teacher or a mentor in any of those ways, is someone who gives you an open invitation to express how you feel to them without judgment. I understand that as a pastor, they cannot open the pulpit to every single person who wants to come by and speak. Some that listen to this may argue and say, why can't they? But A, everyone gets hungry and no one wants to be there that long.
There's not enough time.
B, like that's just not the place for that, right? Like most people that are gathering in a church setting like that, noun church, traditional church, are there to hear that person's interpretation. I agree it needs to be changed. I don't think any one person's interpretation should be the only interpretation. I also would love to see church forums to have like get-togethers later to rehash and even disagree with what, like in more traditional senses of like the style that the Bible was written in, right? Like that's traditional to be able to like say, I don't know if I read it that way, or I think it's this way, or like, I think you're close, but this, but I completely agree. And also this, like there needs to be room for that conversation, but I don't think that's just like the place on every Sunday morning to get up and talk. I also don't necessarily think that it's the place to like have a normal Sunday get together where you just hear someone talk and teach. Unless it's an opportunity to open conversations. I feel like that's another green light is the conversation, is the opinion leading to an open conversation or a shut door? Right? If the mentor is telling you the law of the land and they're looking for that authority, if they have an authority complex or a domineering complex, I feel like that's a dangerous thing. And you can tell, like, you need to believe this so you can get your stuff together. Or, hey, I think that if you could explore this avenue, it would really help with X, Y, and Z. Try it out. See how it works for you. If it doesn't, okay, let's rehash it. You know, maybe that's not the thing. Like there are opportunities. I think a green light is opportunity versus like, say, a red light would be a closed door or like there is no growth in that.
To me, a huge green flag or green light, whatever you want to call it, is a leader knowing how to lead, yes, but when to lead. And I feel like if there is a situation where if somebody's dealing with mental health issues and they go to a spiritual leader, mentor, whatever you want to call it, and tell them, hey, I'm dealing with X, Y, and Z. And if you have already gone through or discussed the issue through a spiritual lens, because that is important, and you have already reached that avenue and they need medical and professional help. To me, a green flag is a pastor or a mentor saying, hey, I am not well versed in this. I am not well equipped to help you, but here's somebody who is, who pulls other leaders, other resources, even if it's not within the church noun. Pulling a doctor friend or a counselor friend or whatever.
Or not a friend.
Yeah, somebody that, you know, they did their own research and they don't know this person. Because sometimes that can lead to other things. But being able to, if they don't know how to lead, they are able to take a step back and find someone who can lead that person and help them with whatever problem that they are facing.
Which kind of ties into like understanding domineering versus like growth mentality, right? A domineering mentality would be like, you need to meet with me and we need to get this situated. Like, let's start doing these. And there may be, like I said, a little bit starting out, but if you're starting to get nowhere or it's just not working, a growth mentality person would say like, this is beyond me. Understand, right? There's a self-awareness there. This is beyond me. Allow me to turn it over to this, right? Like me, Cody, am capable of having spiritual conversations. I can give marital advice based on my experience. I do not have the experience to be able to tell someone about children. I can give opinions if asked, on what little bit I have recollected from other people. Even. Or divorce. Or I can give someone advice on dealing with an alcoholic parent or from the perspective of a child to someone who has an addiction. I cannot necessarily speak to someone who has an alcoholic father outside of the realm of my, like, the shared characteristics, but there's differences, right? Like, I can't speak to an alcoholic brother outside of just my perspective on having an alcoholic family member. There comes a point where it's like, okay, this is where my expertise ends. This is where yours has to begin. I couldn't tell you the first thing about the expertise on raising a house cat, but I can tell you a lot about raising a dog. It's common sense, right? Like, I don't know anything about raising cattle, but I know about, I don't know, planting shrubs. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of one of those things where, like, your expertise is limited, and sooner or later you have to turn it over to someone who has
the being able to use your gifts well, but also giving room and opportunity for other resources to mm-hmm. utilize their gifts.
Yeah. And then, because this recording has gone on for quite a while, we're at 16 minutes now, I think. I want to kind of sum up with the last bit, spiritual parent. This is a kind of a charismatic term a lot.
It's a newer term for me. I have only discovered within the last few years. I didn't grow up using this language, so this is very new territory to me.
Yeah. I would say a spiritual parent is a title you give to someone within your own mind. Okay.
That they don't give to themselves.
Right. Anyone who is looking for the title of I want to be your spiritual parent. I've had someone come to me looking for that title once. He was a musician and he was trying to, I'm using air quotes, mentor me. And he quite literally said, I would like to be a spiritual father to you. I didn't even know this man very well. But you can very much see he was wanting to indoctrinate me.
And I feel like that is very stepping over a boundary.
Yeah, and that steps over boundaries spiritually. It steps over boundaries physically, emotionally, mentally, yeah. Like someone who is looking for the title of spiritual father. And it's funny because the man that I look to as almost like a spiritual father is kind of the one that told me this originally before I ever I've known him a very long time. Like, I'll gladly say, you know, like, shout out to David. I love David. And like, he and I have always had a very mutual understanding. We can sit down, we can have a conversation, and it's just open, right? Like, I can go to him for advice as much as he can come to me for advice, right? And we have that open reciprocity. And I think a green light or a green flag for a spiritual parent would be the same green flag you look for as an adult in your physical parent. Can you go to them? I have a great relationship with my father. I can go to my dad and he can give unmerited advice, but I don't have to receive it. You know, I don't have to want it. And the same goes, like, you shouldn't give unmerited advice in general, but like parents and stuff. But what I'm trying to say is he and I can sit and have a conversation and I'm an adult and he comes to me and asks my opinions on things as much as I go to him and ask his opinions. We share a mutual understanding with each other that we have both come through a similar time in life. We have experienced similar things, but we also have our own unique perspectives and we can co-labor together. I am no longer a child where he is having to raise me, okay? And if you're young in your spiritual walk, there may be a little more guidance, right? But ultimately, as a child, you grow up and it is your decision to take on life and you become responsible for yourself, which is the goal even spiritually. You learn, you grow, you become responsible for yourself. So in a spiritual mentorship in that way, like a spiritual parent, A, don't find someone that's trying to seek the title out for themselves. You're not looking for adoption, okay? It needs to have that mutualness to it and that mutual, you respect them because they respect you and they respect you because you respect them and you co-labor to grow in life together.
And I think we can kind of end on this or wrap this conversation up at this time with this is a green flag for a spiritual mentor leader is that they are okay if they don't have a title.
Mm.
Yeah. If they don't have a physical title of spiritual mentor, leader, pastor, executive director, whatever, that they can be a leader without having the title leader.
That's good. Because, you know, and I think of like a parent, I think of like, well, like, I think like when I think of Melissa, she would be a parent whether it was her kids or someone else, she would step in line for a child like that because she is a mother. You know, I think of certain people that, like, when I think of like pastor, like, they're just natural born leaders who, when you need help, you can go to them and they can give you solid direction that doesn't tell you where to go, but helps you figure out which road to take. You know, when I think of a teacher, I think shout out to Denny, you know, like someone you can go to and he has a wealth of knowledge that he's willing to share to help you make the decision at hand. These people who they don't seek the title seeks them, right? They don't walk into a church saying, I want to be a teacher. People come to them, hey, can you teach me this? Can you show me this?
They already are a teacher.
Right. And that's the difference, right? That, like, that's perfectly said. Guys, we want to hear your opinions on all of this stuff. And of course, we want to hear your questions. Find us over at Instagram _TRP podcast. Find us on our favorite platform, TikTok, @TheRecklessPursuit. And of course, Nomads, a safe community for Christians who ask unsafe questions, a group over on Facebook. We love you guys. We look forward to hearing from you. Ask your questions and see where we get to next. Now that we're wrapping this series up on The Reckless Pursuit. And as always, be brave,
be bold,
and be reckless.
We'll talk soon.